sinasabi natin at inulit-ulit natin na maari nating panghawakan ang pananampalataya samantalang pinapaunlad natin yung ating kaalaman. Kaya scholarship with stewardship, to many people, they don't go together. If you are to be a true scholar, they think that you have to give up on any commitment to faith. If you are committed to a faith, then that limits your scholarship. Well, we have shown that that is not the case. There is a fanaticism that we should avoid, yung nagsasabi na yung proper source of knowledge lamang ng Kristiyano ay yung Christian sources lamang. That's fanaticism which we abhor and which we should avoid. And I gave you from a period in history an example of how scholarship can be maintained while yet being very robust stewards of the faith. In the case of the Puritans, so last Sunday ay itong Puritanism ang ating tiningnan. Eh, sila yung mga, marami sa kanila ay mga pangalan pa rin na tinitingala ngayon dahil lang sa kanilang henyo, their genius. John Milton is an example. And sila yung nagpasimula ng mga institusyon ngayon na kinikilala. Harvard was started by the Puritans. So we see here the facts na we can be good scholars, meaning talagang humahawak sa karunungan, samantalang stewards pa rin, mga mabuting katiwala ng pananampalataya. So these are things that we should maintain. So this leads me to what philosophy we should maintain as far as knowledge, intelligence, education is concerned. And that philosophy is intellectualism. Well, kagaya rin ng Puritanism, this is a term that is very vulnerable to abuse. Yung idea natin ng intellectual is the unfeeling academic immersed in his theories. Probably the enduring image of the intellectual today is this face. Albert Einstein, with his shabby look and yung kanyang professor na dating na unkempt hair and everything, eh, parang palagay ng iba, ito yung intellectual, parang walang masyadong grooming sa sarili, walang pakialam sa iba, masyadong immersed sa kanyang theories. So that's the intellectual, and that will be a wrong image. Now, of course, Einstein was an intellectual, ngunit huwag natin kalimutan, he was in fact Jewish in his faith. He believed in God and he was committed to that faith. And he said so in his writings. Pero talagang intellectual siya. Alam niyo ba yung kanyang mga dakilang mga teorya, his theories, were not done in a laboratory experiment but by sheer mathematical calculation. This is an intellectual na talaga. Kung kaya naman, nung siya ay namatay, yung brain niya ay preserved pa rin ngayon, pinag-aaralan at saan galing itong ganitong klaseng utak. But if you think the intellectual is that kind of face na walang grooming, etc., nagkakamali tayo, intellectualism actually is a philosophy. Intellectualism is opposite to emotionalism or otherwise also called romanticism, yung nag-aatkala na yung realidad ay yung nararamdaman. Yung realidad is based on feeling, on emotion. That's emotionalism or romanticism. Intellectualism is saying that the mind is primary. The primacy of knowledge before feeling. The primacy of objectivity. Kung ano yung nandun sa labas bago yung pakiramdam sa loob. Yan yung intellectualism. So we're talking of intellectualism not in its popular abuse, but we're talking of intellectualism in terms of that philosophy. At may batayan sa Biblia na tayo ay maging intellectual in that sense, na unahin ang isip. Because in the Bible, God had put primacy upon the mind in our personal humanity, in our constitution. So Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So mapapansin nyo rito yung yung transformation ng Kristiyano ay unang-unang nangyayari saan? Renewal of the mind. yung isip. Napakahalaga nito. May mga nagsasabing pagbabago, behavioral, o yung pagbabago ay circumstantial. Kapag baguhin natin yung paligid, baguhin natin yung behavior, magbabago tayo. Eh, mali pong pagbabago yun. Magpapalit lang yan ng mga behavior, pero the same mind will bring you the same problems in different forms. Rather, true renewal through transformation ay by way of the mind. So, sa pamamagitan ng isip. Kaya sa Christian view, primary ang mind. Una ang isip. At kaya nga sa ang pagkaangkop nito sa edukasyon, when we apply that biblical teaching to education, the mind in all its functions must be cultivated and promoted in all educational pursuits. Kaya lahat ng function ng mind, thinking, analyzing, imagining, eh lahat yan nasa isip natin. Napakayaman ng isip natin. Nalaklak nga sa isang nabasa kong novel. Sinabi niya, "Do you know there is something faster than light? And that's thought." So, in a way, he is right. Na light will travel so many thousands of miles per second, but thought ay talagang mabilis. So, the point here is, we have the power of thought. And this is our advantage to animals. You sometimes hear people say, man is the highest form of animal. Eh, hindi ako naniniwala rin. In animal abilities, we are lower form. Eyesight, talo tayo ng maraming hayop. Smell, talo tayo ng dog at iba pa. Pero, saan tayo may advantage sa lahat ng hayop pag samasamahin mo man sila? Thought. We have an advantage in thought. They say we are closest to chimpanzees because genetically, we are only 1% to 2% different from chimpanzees in genetics. Akala nila, yun na yung pinakamalapit. Eh, ang simpleng hamon ko sa kanila, pag-ipunin mo na, piliin mo lahat ng pinakamatalinong chimpanzee sa buong mundo. At bigyan mo ng isang taon, bigyan mo ng computer, at subukin mong paggawain sila ng sonnet. A sonnet is a 14-line poem. And we know great sonnet composers like Shakespeare, John Milton, they have great sonnets. Eh kung talagang 1 to 2% lang yung difference natin sa chimpanzees, this is the challenge. The challenge is, well, get all the most intelligent chimpanzees around and give them 1 year with a computer and all the devices that they can manage, that they can avail of, and a year to compose a 14-line poem. Of course, will they do it? No. For what reason? They have no human thought. Only humans have the ability to think. So that is our advantage. And because that is our advantage, we better make use of that. We make use of our ability to think, our ability of thought. And that means in education, we nurture the mind more than anything else. Of course, there are many other things in cultivating a well-bred and well-educated man, but primary is thought. Primary is mind, and this is what we mean by intellectualism. So we are avoiding the abuse of intellectualism in this image. Rather, intellectualism in the sense of giving primacy to the mind must be our pursuit. It must be our philosophy. And that is so in education, that is so in the stewardship of our faith. So let me give you, therefore, an intellectual in any definition of intellectualism, an intellectual par excellence, and yet a Christian, steward of faith, a true scholar, but a steward of the Christian faith. That's C.S. Lewis. Clive Staples Lewis, but everybody calls him through his writings as C.S. Lewis, to his friends, Jack, from 1898 to 1963. He made his own autobiographical material, not in a true formal autobiography, but autobiographical materials in two writings. One is the obviously reference to the Pilgrim's Progress, but ang tawag niya ay the Pilgrim's Regress. That's published in 1933, and then 1955, he wrote Surprised by Joy. He was born on November 29, 1898, in Belfast, Ireland. So I'm not sure if he has an Irish accent, and I cannot reproduce it anyway, but he was born in Ireland early in his childhood. I think at 10 years old, he was orphaned of his mother in 1908 and might have had an effect on him. A few years later, in 1911, by his own confession, he became a happy atheist. So he gave up on his childhood faith. He was bred in the Church of England. He gave up on it in 1911. And for many years, he confessed to be an atheist without any belief. He studied in University College in Oxford. That's University College in Oxford. Yan ang university na college lang. But it's called University College in Oxford University. And of course, Oxford, together with Cambridge, was one of the top universities, not only in England, but now in the whole world, Oxford University. That's where he studied and, in fact, spent many years in Oxford University. Later on, he was elected fellow of Magdalen College. It's Magdalen College still in Oxford University. Now, after many years of being an atheist, he was converted to Christianity in 1929. And according to his own confession, it was by sheer logic. 1943, he wrote, on the intellectual side, my own progress was from popular realism. Now, let me just explain. Popular realism is what we would call today as materialism, meaning there's no existence, but what is material? That was his belief. Popular realism to philosophical idealism, he began to accept the existence of thoughts and ideas. From idealism to pantheism. Pantheism is believing that God is everywhere and everything is God. There is a God in everything. And from pantheism to theism, that is now believing in one true God. And from theism to Christianity. I still think this is a very natural road. So it was sheer logic that convinced him of the Christian faith. In fact, in his testimony, sinabi niya, he was thinking of these things while going to the zoo. By the time he arrived in the zoo, he was a Christian. Yung travel time na nangyari, na-convince siya ng logic. So this is one of the reasons, by the way, that I don't accept those who disregard logic as a way of persuading of the Christian doctrine. I believe logic has its place. Now, I don't believe that it's only pure logic, but logic has its place. And here is one testimony from C.S. Lewis, who was persuaded of the Christian faith by way of logic. In other words, I'm sure God may have used Christian testimonies that he saw in Christians and others, but the most convincing for him was the sheer logic of it. So this was a true intellectual even in his conversion. He saw the logic of the Christian claim. So he converted to Christianity in 1928. According to him, while he was in his Magdalen room, this Magdalen College, he confessed that God is God. And that's where we find C.S. Lewis from here on becoming a Christian, not only a Christian, but one who was thoroughly so and lived out his Christianity in his academic life. He married later on, I think age 54, Joy Davidman. Before meeting her, he said he was a committed bachelor. just in love with his books and his academic life. Now, Joy David Mann had a previous marriage who was unfaithful and she divorced. Her two children were fans of Lewis's books. By this time, Lewis already was a name in literature. Marami na siyang na-publish. At yung mga anak nitong si Joy David Mann, she's an American, ay fans ng books ni C.S. Lewis. And when the opportunity came for her to visit England, she requested a chance to meet him. So, probably stricken, but still an intellectual. He just tried to see whether this was going to work. At nangyari nga ay, at first they had a civil marriage in which they did not cohabit for a while. But later on, they had a church wedding and became a true husband and wife and had marital bliss. But it wasn't going to last long. Joy would be stricken with bone cancer. And in fact, that was then that C.S. Lewis decided to marry her in church after yung kanilang civil wedding. Well, fortunately, at least the cancer had remission, and Joy still lived a few more years, but those years were spent, according to C.S. Lewis, in bliss and happiness, but ultimately, in 1960, she died. And it yielded from C.S. Lewis one of the most emotional books I have read, A Grief Observed. And this is one reason why I don't accept this abuse of the intellectual as being unemotional. C.S. Lewis wrote the book A Grief Observed in 1961, first by a pseudonym, but later on he was recognized to be the author, and it was so uncharacteristic from his other writings. Very emotional book. By the way, the Joy David Mann was herself an accomplished writer, an awarded poet. Siguro talagang may match itong dalawa. So yan yung nangyari. Joy died in 1960 and it yielded this very emotional book, the most emotional book I have ever read, A Grief Observed. This is C.S. Lewis and Joy in their old age. Again, very happy marriage between them. Now, C.S. Lewis later on became when Joy died, I said, C.S. Lewis wrote a very emotional book, A Grief Observed. Here is an excerpt. On any view, whatever, to say H, maybe meaning honey or whatever, he never explained. H is dead is to say all that is gone. It is part of the past. And the past is the past, and that is what time means. And time itself is one more name for death. And heaven itself is a state where the former things have passed away. And that, just that, is what I cry out for with mad midnight endearments and entreaties spoken into the empty air. And there are many more of that in this small book, but a very emotional one. But later on, C.S. Lewis became a professor in Cambridge University. Now, the hidden story to this is that the professorial chair was denied C.S. Lewis in Oxford because of his Christian commitment. They could not understand why a genius like him yet can be a Christian through and through. And because of that, may mga nag-block ng kanyang promotion to becoming a professor. It was Cambridge that offered him the professorship. And so, he left Oxford, became a professor in Cambridge. Itong Oxford at Cambridge, parang Lasal at Ateneo sa atin, yung rivalry nila. So, it was Cambridge that then benefited from C.S. Lewis' academic life. He became a professor in literature, and to be specific, in Renaissance literature. And later on, he died in 1963. This is his graveyard in Holy Trinity Church in Oxford. Now, let me just give you some summary of C.S. Lewis, the man, the Christian, as an intellectual. This was said of him. He was a teacher of literature who seemed to have read all the literature there was in English and Europe's other main languages. He was once called the best-read man of his generation. So, talagang intellectual ito. Lahat ng mababasang literature in English, binasa niya. And it would come out in his writings. If you read some of the writings of C.S. Lewis, it was obviously coming from a very well-read man. As a teacher, remember, he spent many years in the academy. This was said of him. He was a heavyweight academic with a self-possessed forthrightness that unnerved some of his students. He worked hard and expected others to do the same. Woe to you if Lewis was your tutor and you were lazy. Lagot ka. Reputation ito, terror. Hindi natin alam, pero pagtamad ka, naku, lagot ka sa kanya. Of course, it is as a writer that C.S. Lewis will make his impact and mark in history. His literary output is prodigious and of the highest quality and great variety. He wrote popular books and children's novels. Probably the most popular is the collection of stories under the collection of the Chronicles of Narnia, of which the most popular was The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's this Chronicle of Narnia that we have such enduring characters as Aslan, the Lion Prince. Many have seen in this character, by the way, the image of Jesus, because he was a prince of Narnia who had to give his life in order to deliver the Narnia, and later on would rise from the dead. So then you have such character as Rinkeln from The Lost Battle, a brave and valiant talking mouse, warrior who lived during the reign of Caspian, and he took part in the Narnian Revolution. So kayong mga bata, sana pabasahin kayo ng inyong parents ng mga novels ni C.S. Lewis. So instead of just wasting your time with things that do not educate the mind, C.S. Lewis stories are good to train the young mind. Kayong parents, if you're going to raise children who will love reading, among the literature you give are C.S. Lewis literature. And by the way, C.S. Lewis developed a whole philosophy concerning storytelling. He said that the use of story has its own powerful logic that overcomes rationalization. So he was a man of logic, yet he saw something powerful in stories. So he did not simply analyze and hypothesize and applied logic. He was a powerful storyteller through his writings. And itong Chronicler of Narnia, we know, has become a very popular movie. So, yan ay galing kay C.S. Lewis. Besides the popular and children's novels, he wrote scholarly and apologetic materials, such as The Allegory of Love, where he analyzed love in its various senses, from eros to phileos to agape, and then the problem of pain. And in the problem of pain, I read that book, and he argued that people tend to make pain a problem when pain, in fact, is a blessing of God. I explain it this way. Imagine a child in his crib, sleeping peacefully, and then a rat happens to get into the crib and begins to bite the child. And suppose it's a painless world. No pain. So the rat just keep biting, eating the child's flesh, and no reaction because there is no pain. In other words, he is saying, the reason why we are able to react to such dangers is because of the pain. So rather than treating pain as a problem, pain is a blessing. It is God's way of putting our human makeup so that we react to danger. So that was an eye-opening explanation. At yun ang kanyang apologetic material and marami pa. He also wrote Christian and theological materials, of which my favorite is the Screwtape Letters. The Screwtape Letters is an imaginary series of letters by a senior demon to a junior demon explaining to him how to damage a Christian assigned to him. So a Christian was assigned to this junior demon named Screwtape, and he explains to him how to best deal with that Christian so that he doesn't become an effective Christian. And by giving those advices, Lewis very effectively tells us how to deal with spiritual issues. Take, for example, this excerpt from the Screwtape Letters. The simplest is to turn their gaze away from him towards themselves. So that's the policy of a demon. Another, it is during such trough periods. Now, trough, sa isang graph, pag pataas, it's peak. Pag pababa, trough. So that's trough. It is during such trough periods, much more than during the peak periods, that it is growing into the sort of creature he wants it to be. So in other words, be on a special guard if a Christian is experiencing affliction, because that's God's way of the more developing him to be the kind of Christian he should be. And again, through this imaginary letter, very wise advice. And still another, indeed the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. So it's not by way of sudden falls, but the gradual that this senior demon is advising this junior demon. Well, the way it ends is a story in itself. But that Screwtape Letters, and then Mere Christianity. And here is an excerpt from his Mere Christianity. I am not in my natural state nearly so much of a person as I like to believe. Most of what I call me can be very easily explained. It is when I turn to Christ, when I give myself up to his personality, that I first begin to have a personality of my own. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him, and with him, everything else thrown in. So here is a Christian who was thoroughgoing in his Christ-centeredness. So as a Christian, it was said of him, inwardly, his conversion turned him right around, giving him a lifelong desire to make known his recovered faith. Walter Hooper says, he never knew a man who was so completely converted. So in other words, I'm trying to tell you of this intellectual man, no doubt about his commitment to intellectual pursuits, yet a thoroughgoing Christian. By way of reflection from C.S. Lewis' life, he exemplified a vast intellect, well-versed in both Christian and non-Christian literature. And yet, was one who was committed to and vocal about his Christian faith. So kung meron tayong susumahin na mga leksyon dito, one is that God's creation should be an object of wonder and thrill. You'll get that in the stories of C.S. Lewis, the thrill. He can make stories out of simple things because he wondered at them. They were to him an object of wonder and thrill because of God's creation. Then there is a healthy combination of human dignity and human depravity. He was realistic about human sin, about human depravity, but never lost sight of the dignity of man, and that's a good combination to maintain. And finally, a God-centered view of life molds firmness of conviction, yet C.S. Lewis was one who abhorred arrogance. Arrogance of asserting oneself, because he believed that there must be humility. So from C.S. Lewis's example, let us be challenged to pursue knowledge with vigor. If you can, be as well-read as much as possible, but always committed to your faith. Yung inawit natin kanina was very rightly said, enlighten with faith's light my eyes, my heart, inflame it with love's fire. So, walang tension between knowledge and faith. We can be scholars through and through, and yet committed to our faith, true stewards of the faith. Let the last word be again from C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christs. They are not doing that. All the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. It is even doubtful, you know, whether the whole universe was created for any other purpose. So here was a man really committed to his Christian faith, yet a real intellectual. C.S. Lewis died on a day that should have been more well known, except that he died on November 22, 1963, the day when JFK in Dallas, Texas was assassinated. So the news of C.S. Lewis's death was buried in the inside pages. The whole world came to know of JFK's death. Yet another man died on that day, who was a greater influence as far as literature and the Christian faith are concerned. So that's the challenge to us. Any question? Ben.
Ano po? Possible po ba? Ay, hindi. Pag yung Christian po ba, naging aktivista? Tatlo po yung question ko. Pag naging aktivista po yung Christian, ibig sabihin po ba hindi Christian siya? Tapos next po, bawa ako, nag-aaral ako, tapos puro bagsak nahirapan ako. Puro 5 yung nakuha ko. Disproved din ba yun na Christian siya? Tapos yung last po, ano po yung standard ng Lord sa excellence?
Kami ha. Aktivista, 5, ano yung pangatlo?
Excellence po.
So, first question is, can a Christian be an activist? Yun ba? Well, I expect a Christian to be an activist in the true sense. A true sense of an activist, meaning he wants his faith, he wants his convictions to have an active impact on those around him, on society. Now, what I would question is the use of these present rebellious protests, anti-government disposition as being Christian. I'll question that, but as an activist in the sense of seeking to impact on society, yes, a Christian should be an activist. I believe that a Christian should be a radical, but again, in the true sense of the word. Radical is from the Latin radix. Radix means root. So a Christian is a radical in the sense we go to the root, but the root is not changing government. The root is not changing parties or putting in place a particular policy. The root is, again, the human condition of sin. It is the Christian, in fact, who can be a true radical. Can a Christian suffer all fives? Well, hindi natin sinasabing hindi siya Kristiyano dahil nasingko siya. I'm sure many of us can relate to that. Nakasingko tayo. But yung isasama ko na sa pangatlong question mo, God's standard of excellence is not to be measured by grades, not to be measured by comparative status dun sa na ikaw ay dapat on top of the class. No. Rather, you do your best. doing your best means you exercise every gift and power God has given you, and then commit it to the Lord Jesus Christ, then do your best where you are spending your vocation. And if you do that, well, I believe that under normal circumstances, you should not get a 5. Under normal circumstances. There may be abnormal circumstances, nagkasakit, o napaka-cranky ng professor, pero under normal circumstances, hindi naman kailangan. So that's my belief about God's standard of excellence. But we don't make that standard of excellence the gospel. Christianity is based on the gospel of Christ. Tito Ike muna.
When I read the word autobiography, Pilgrim's Progress, came to my mind that there was also Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan.
Opo.
And I think John Milton also, during the Puritan period, it was, I think, the golden age of English literature.
Opo.
And John Milton, I think, was the author of Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained.
John Milton.
John Milton, yeah. So, now, I have not come across very well the English literature, the writings of John, of this Clive Staples Lewis. Was it before the after the golden age of English literature, the times of Shakespeare, John Milton, Christopher Barlow, and William Colin Bryant?
Ay, malayo na po. Shakespeare, Milton were 16th and 17th century writers. C.S. Lewis, obviously, is 20th century. At kung narito po kayo nung Sunday, pinag-usapan namin yung Puritanism, and that's where we discuss some of these men of literature such as John Milton, Anne Bradstreet of America, and others. So, pero John Bunyan, yes, siya yung sumulat ng The Pilgrim's Progress, which obviously C.S. Lewis was using, but by way of satire, he used the title The Pilgrim's Regress. Michael?
I was already strong in my faith about 20 years before I read Mere Christianity. It took me about 10 readings of Mere Christianity to understand it. Very intellectual in its the way it's written. And I didn't need proof of my faith, but if I didn't have proof, that would give me proof after reading it. So I went out and bought 10 copies to give to my friends. Most of them came back saying they didn't understand it. Do you think there's any kind of layman terms translation of that book? Because I think that'd be really beneficial for...
I'm not aware of any simplification of Mere Christianity. Personally, I find it simple enough, but probably to others, they would need some help in understanding Mere Christianity. Now, let me just explain that Mere Christianity there does not mean that he was devaluing Christianity, but rather we would probably say essential Christianity. By Mere Christianity, he means if you take away all the decorations and everything and just have the essence, this is essential Christianity, and that's what Mere Christianity is about. It's just a small book, and yes, I would recommend that book to everybody. Jean.
Pastor, not a question, but a testimonial related to the book Mere Christianity. I would like to share that. God used that book when I was doing my PhD, God used that book for me to have a balanced view of scripture and scholarship. So talagang very, that book has become very helpful for me to have a Christian frame. And I think that's the purpose of the book, that if you're a student and you have to have the Christian worldview.
Yes. Thank you, Jean. And yes, I would recommend, lalo na sa mga estudyante natin, read that book. It's I believe that it is an understandable book, and it will help you, as Jean shared, to have a balanced outlook of committing yourself to God, be a thoroughly convinced Christian, and yet committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Our thoughts.
Do you think the long bachelorship or bachelorhood of C.S. Lewis has contributed enormously to him having more time of being devoted to his studies and writings?
Well, I'm sure it did.
And would you recommend some of our younger men to be bachelor?
Would I recommend
C.S. Lewis?
Well, thank you. Well, first the question: did it help Lewis to have such? To be such a well-read man because he was a bachelor, I have no doubt about that. He could spend more time in his books and doing his academic work because he was a bachelor. Whether I would recommend that to those who are pursuing an academic career, I'll go back to Matthew 19, each to his own calling. I have no doubt that it helped Lewis. Would it have been different if he had an early marriage? Probably. Sonia.
Halimbawa po dito ang sa church na dito po sa Los Baños, bagay po ang mga mensahe dahil naniniwala akong maraming intellectual dito sa church na ito. Pero ang akin naman po isang observation lamang na kagaya po ni C.S. Lewis na siya ay talagang matalino at talagang genius. Pero ginamit niya ang mga istorya para maabot ang mga bata.
Exactly.
Kasi kagaya din naman halimbawa dito sa tingin ko sa church na ito. Halimbawa po yung iba naming mga kasamahan na halimbawa ay grade 3 lamang po ang natapos at talagang halos hindi rin doon makapasa sa grade 3. Pero sila ay nakikinig sa salita ng Diyos. Talagang nahihirapan din. Iniisip ko, saan silang iglesia o sa kapulungan ng anong uri ng iglesia ang pwede sa kanila? Dahil, kumbaga sa huwi, payak ang kanilang kaalaman at napaka, kumbaga sa huwi, napaka simple. Hindi naman talagang shock. Hindi. Ang aking ano ho doon ay challenge sa mga intellectuals kung papaano talaga maaabot ang mga pangkaraniwang tao.
Salamat po. Yun nga ang challenge sa atin ni C.S. Lewis. He was an intellectual man. He could communicate to the highest mind. He has books. Nakapagbasahin mo talagang very deep, very profound, and very intellectual. Yet, he was a man who could write stories for children. He had plenty of children's stories. And in fact, he formed very decided convictions about how to teach children. Kaya he was a man who was really a giant of an intellectual pero nakakaabot sa isip ng mga bata. And ang masasabi ko lamang ay talagang gift niya yon na I don't think I have that gift of reaching children's minds and I would not condemn myself for that dahil may mga taong talagang ganun ang kanilang gift. Meron namang ang gift nila ay talagang umabot sa mga bata. Hindi naman sila makakaabot sa mga matataas. Pero gifted sila para sa mga bata. C.S. Lewis was that rare man who has the ability to reach both, the highest and the children's mind. Kaya kung meron sa inyong ganyan ang gift, napaka-rare niya at napaka-gandang gamitin para sa Panginoon. North.
Pastor, saan ho siyang iglesia kasapi? Active ba ho siya sa...
Church of England. He believed, he was not, he for all his theological writings, he did not address the issue of baptism. And so he was raised in the Church of England. When he returned to the Christian faith, he believed that he owed it to the Church of England to recover his faith in that church. And remember, at the time, the Church of England is not as bad as it is today. In terms of its theology.
How did C.S. Lewis confronted or related to his prosecutors in Oxford. Kasi parang co-equal sila, faculty members. Yun lang bang talagang resignation or transfer? And ibig sabihin ba, Cambridge is more Christian than Oxford?
Siguro, it just happened that the administration at the time that C.S. Lewis was in Oxford, I can't say, but it's probably that those who have the power of decision in Oxford at that time were biased against the Christian faith. Because yung mga kasabayan ni C.S. Lewis ay J.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings, ang kasabayan niya, C.S. Lewis din yan, by pangalan din yan. And yet, it was really bewildering that he was denied a professorial chair in Oxford. All I can presume, without saying that that is the case, is yung those with powers of decision were biased against his Christian commitment. Yes, Christian.
Pastor, how do we approach yung mga intellectual writers? Kasi minsan, they say it's a great book. Pero, pag binasa ko, parang plain lang din yung natin. Pero how do we get the most out of that, yung mga ganong klaseng writings? How do we train our mind to be active reader or to really think logically?
Well, kasama na rin yung talagang mayroon kang interest na magbasa, and then interest mo yung subject na binabasa, at meron kang expectation na mag-gain through your reading, then dyan din papasok yung there are techniques of reading to make it more understandable. We cannot discuss that here. But it is imperative na magtuloy-tuloy tayo sa habit of reading. It makes us gain knowledge that we would not gain otherwise. So, and again, Problem of Pain. Read C.S. Lewis's Problem of Pain. And there you see a man who addresses this issue very simply. Kaya nga, ang lagi kong kino-compare the Problem of Pain is C.S. Lewis and he is a grief observer. Problem of Pain was written, I think, 1946. And there he was a theologian, an apologist, analyzing this issue with a theologian's mind, very solid. 1961, he was dealing with pain on a very personal level. And you don't see the analysis. It was in a very real sense, a scattered book, very uncharacteristic. And yet, you read it, you see a man who was grieving and very emotional. Kaya magandang comparison yung read the Problem of Pain and then with it, a grief observed. You'll have the balance of a man who had to deal with pain. John. Okay, happy birthday, John.
Salamat. Pastor, I read a lot of fiction books. Really a lot of fiction books. And siguro, napansin siguro na since Lewis also noted the strength of books and sometimes yun yung ginagamit niya, stories to impart his principles on other people and to share his beliefs to the good. Yun yung intention niya. But I've heard some opinions and sometimes I do understand opinions na I don't want you to read these books or I don't want my friends to read these books or I don't want my children to read these books because these aren't sort of Christian-like or wala silang Christian-like principles. And sometimes nakikita ko, na-understand ko rin na so baka nga walang moral lesson talaga yung book na to or ganun. And then there are people that they just let their children say read C.S. Lewis books but not Harry Potter books or not Tolkien books. Are there, say, guidelines to choose which books you should read or what if, I don't think there's anything wrong with reading just these fiction books for entertainment, but should it really be guarded against these things? And
well, anything to which you expose your mind, you should apply certain guidelines. You cannot just expose your minds to just anything and to any influence. Just the same, like going to the internet, or watching a movie, it's not possible na anything goes. Especially with children, when you are a parent deciding for your children's readings, there are certain things that you will have to apply. But as far as good materials are concerned, I will not suggest that one should read only Christian sources. Eh, diyan na nga tayo nagsimula sa unang lesson natin, the idea that you should only read Christian sources or Christian readings. Read all. And again, C.S. Lewis is a good example. He read all literature that he could take a hand on, and that made him such a man that he was because of his wide reading. So, kung ano yung mababasa mo, wag mo rin ilimit ang sarili mo sa fiction. Baka mamuhay ka sa mundo ng fiction. But I do read fiction novels. It does entertain me in a way. And one thing also that it does is, if you read a lot, it trains you in English expression. So these are some of the collateral gains apart from the entertainment as well as the knowledge you derive from it. So make your readership, make your reading wide. Sonia.
Emotionalism in contrast to intellectualism. Halimbawa po, ang napansin ko sa mga churches na napuntahan ko, may mga churches na talagang ang atmosphere nila ay they have more freedom Masaya. To express their emotions. At meron din naman nga pong churches na masasabi nating more intellectual sa kanilang approach. Ang aking pong tanong ay, kanina, medyo parang sinagot nyo na eh, yung tungkol sa renewing of the mind. So basically, Christianity is an appeal to the mind, not to the emotion. Pero naisip ko rin po na may mga grupo ng taong talagang, yun nga, sabi nung katabi ko, baka hindi maabot yung gano'n, so shallow, or ang nagiging ano nila emotion. Yun ang parang pang-come on nila. Pero dahil nga po, ang aking mga kapatid ay puro reformed din, kaya palagi nila akong nare-rebuke dun sa area na gano'n, na parang might as well na huwag masyado sa emotion dahil it could deceive you or ganyan-ganyan. Pero parang ako naman po'y nakidaw-daw dun sa mga churches na mahilig din dun sa gano'n. At nakita ko na, hindi ko naman po sinabi ako mag-a-approve o disapprove sa kanya, pero sa mata ng Panginoon, alin po talaga, in the light of the Word of God, alin ang mas malapit?
Well, gusto ko pong liwanagin, hindi natin tinatanggi ang papel ng emosyon. What I said is that primacy, gusto mo yung unahin. Hindi natin tinatanggi yung dapat tayong umapila sa emosyon, but we do so by way of the mind. And through the mind, when the mind is gripped with truth, it can respond with powerful emotions. So don't imagine na this church or Reformed theology is anti-emotional. Hindi po. We are for good emotion. And maraming good emotion. Conviction of sin, sorrow for sin, delight in the Lord, being overwhelmed by the truths of God's word. These are emotional responses. But we encourage emotional response only by way of truth that grips the mind. Kasi kung emotion lang yan, na walang truth in the mind, that's when emotion becomes dangerous. So, emotion is like fire. Make it a servant, it will serve you well. Release it to its own power, it can burn. So, we don't want emotion unchecked by the primacy of the mind. My last thoughts. So, sana ma-challenge tayo. There are many available, may mga websites dedicated to C.S. Lewis, and some of those writings are made available online. Or why not to buy books by C.S. Lewis? They are widely available. Sinuggest ko nga yung Mere Christianity, Problem of Pain, and then for stories, Chronicle of Narnia, and its 7 stories. It's a collection of 7 stories na you can read or encourage your children to read. And let C.S. Lewis be a challenge to us of a man who was a man of intellect, a giant of a mind, yet, as he said sa binasa natin kanina, he saw the purpose of the whole universe as being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. A true scholar and a true steward. Let that be our Christianity. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you indeed for the challenge of the life and commitment of C.S. Lewis. And we pray that by him, we would see the real combination, the healthy combination of true scholarship, of pursuit of knowledge where it leads. And yet, at the same time, there is that side of stewardship of faith. Make us men of knowledge and men of faith. Make us people who love to read, who love to know, and yet always guided and good stewards of the Christian faith. May you even give us that kind of ability, or those of us in our churches, men and women who have the ability to reach both those who are in the academe, those who have high knowledge, and yet at the same time be able to condescend to the young minds and the children of our churches. Salamat, Panginoon, sa ganitong patutuo at naway maging hamon ito sa amin. At pinapanalangin namin, we pray in particular for our students, those who are now studying in schools. They will be exposed to many influences. Some of those influences will challenge their faith. We pray for them that you will guide them and give them strong understanding of the academic subjects they are studying. And yet, let them be men and women who have been taught the faith and will hold fast to the faith of the Word of God. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.